Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast. Today, we're interviewing Fervid Faye. Faye is a traveling art model and cosplayer. She's been doing this since 2019. While her main genres are artsy erotica, cosplay, and character builds, she enjoys a wide array of genres. She currently resides in Fairfax, Virginia. How's it going, Faye?
It's going good, thanks. You?
I am great, actually. I'm leaving tomorrow to go on a short vacation.
Nice.
So I'm super excited.
Yay.
I agree. Today, we're going to be doing something a little different. We've been cranking out interviews twice a month since November, and I think we should mix things up a bit. So we're going to spend the first 10 minutes or so with an abbreviated interview. Then we're going to discuss some classic adult photography shoot tropes and brainstorm some ideas to try and make them a little more fresh and exciting. But first, Faye, how's this last year been for you in terms of modeling?
So it's been interesting. So with the pandemic, so a little background is I am super allergic to coffee, which makes it really hard for me to travel. So with COVID happening, all the coffee places got shut down. So there was no coffee in gas stations. There was no coffee in like trains or planes or hotel lobbies. So I had probably one of the best modeling years I've had so far because I could go anywhere.
That's so weird.
I know. It's a terrible, terrible allergy, and it's really, really rare, but it's like EpiPen allergic to coffee.
So you can't even be in the same same room. Wow.
No. Yes.
Gotcha.
It makes my life really complicated.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's why I found modeling as an outlet. It's a really good outlet. But also, that's why I don't go to cons, is because of my coffee allergy. I just don't want to spend $300 on tickets to have to turn around and go to the hospital.
Yeah, especially when that's something that so many people love.
Love. And it's everywhere.
Yeah. You even get it in chocolate now. Restaurants have started doing like coffee rubbed meat.
Oh, yeah. I can't eat at any barbecue places. No Famous Dave's, no Red Hot and Blue, no Mission Barbecue.
The only one of those you're missing out on is Mission Barbecue. All right. So I think you had said that you had a spine fracture. What happened?
I did. I was helping family move, and we were going upstairs, and somebody dropped a box spring, and it crushed me. So then I fractured my L4 and my L3.
Wow.
It was really painful. So I have not been modeling for almost 6 months now.
But you're coming back next month, right?
Yes, I am. I should be getting the okay on the 26th. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm back to doing PT. I can do full weight now. So that's exciting. All good things.
That is exciting. All right, so what got you started modeling?
I really just wanted to be a suicide girl. And for the longest time, I didn't have any self-confidence or any gumption to do it. But one day I was just like, you know what? I'm getting old. I better do it now or I never will. So then I got on Model Mayhem and I just set up some photo shoots with people.
You're not wrong. It's funny. I actually decided to start doing adult modeling because I was getting old. And it was like, you know, I hit that point where it was like, oh man, I don't want to die without having done these things that, you know, I've thought about doing for years.
Yeah. That's so true. We should just do the things we want to do before we can't.
Yeah. It's depressing, but true.
It's depressing, but true.
So, have you had any really great experiences you'd like to share doing modeling?
Great experiences. The best experiences have to be creating characters and seeing them come to life. and having those photos end up being some of your all-time favorites. And then the other best part is the lifelong relationships that I think that I've made with certain people in the industry now, because I would have never met these people had I not done modeling. And people like Emo Hippie Chick, mm-hmm. and Jason, he's one of my favorite photographers. They're just great people, good people to know, good people to be around, good people to create with. That's the best.
That's something that I haven't run into yet. Well, that's not true. I had one model that I worked with really consistently for about 2 years. But yeah, there's a really super creative and really, it's a really great relationship. One day I'll have it again.
You will.
So you mentioned that you wanted to be a suicide girl. What specifically about Suicide Girls was so interesting?
So initially, when I had saw Suicide Girls, I had thought that what they did was alternative modeling. And I thought that that meant it was going to be more evocative than what I actually think Suicide Girls is currently. So I would describe Suicide Girls as alternative models doing boudoir. So like they have tattoos and colored hair and cool body mods, but they're just doing light and airy shoots as opposed to things more akin to style erotica or Fet erotica magazine, where it's the fetishes and the alternative modeling is actually woven into the concept. There's no real formula behind it. Not every girl's doing the same exact thing, which is what Suicide Girls does. They have a specific stylized format that you have to abide by. And that really turned me off.
You know, I hadn't actually thought about that. I've seen Suicide Girls, obviously, and it was super interesting to me, but I always assumed that there was kind of more behind the paywall, but it sounds like it's not really. It's like Playboy, but with tattoos and piercings.
That's exactly what I would say it is. It's for the girls who can't necessarily be in Playboy or Maxim or Hustler because they have tattoos and body modifications.
Gotcha. Well, there's value in that and giving them a kind of a marketplace and a showplace. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Like, I'm not knocking them. Mm-hmm. It's just not what I thought it was. And that was a letdown to me.
That's fair.
So then I realized that's not what I wanted to do.
Which is echoed in your Model Mayhem, which specifically calls out that you really want to do more fetish modeling. So what is it specifically about fetish modeling that you love?
So many things. I fucking love it. It's amazing. So fetish modeling allows you to be your purest self without anybody in the room. I will preface that with say anybody in the room judging you. Fetish modeling allows people to be evocative and also educate other people, because I've done a wax shoot. And it baffled me that so many people didn't realize that there are specific candles that you're supposed to use when you're doing wax puff.
Yeah, it burns. It's a low at a temperature, right? Melts at a lower temperature?
Yes. Mm. Yes. So it melts faster and it's not as hot on the skin. But it was crazy to me that so many people didn't know that. And that is really what I love, is I'm taking something and I'm helping bring it more into the public's eye, and it allows people to feel less kink shamed. I think fetish modeling is a great way to publicly make a statement that you're not weird because you have fetishes, and it doesn't make you a bad person or says nothing negative about you because you have fetish XYZ. Mm-hmm. So that's my main thing.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I think you're the second or third model I've talked with who both had self-esteem issues and decided to turn to modeling as like a way to force yourself to get out there. And same thing with the fetish thing. Like, this is a place to explore and find new things that they had no idea existed and really kind of dive into it in a non-judgmental way.
Yeah. And it's great when you get to work with people. There's a rigger that I met because of this. And he is super safe. He's held in high regard. Everybody loves him. And he doesn't just like... he doesn't just tie you up and then that's it, you know? He ties you up and he tells you what he's doing. He tells you, he makes sure that you feel safe. He brings safety to the forefront of the fetish or of the kink that you're working with. So, yeah, like that's really cool. I don't think I would have ever met any of these people had I not been involved in fetish modeling.
Yep. And as you mentioned, safety is hugely important for sure.
Oh yeah. And that's like the one thing I would absolutely want to say to anybody. The best advice is to, if you are doing fetish modeling, it is imperative that you get like first hand references. I know with modeling, you're supposed to too, but a lot of us see that our friends have shot with somebody and it's like really okay, so no big deal. I don't need to ask for references because so-and-so shot with this person. But for fetish modeling, you really need to make sure that whoever you're working with is not going to push your hard limits. That is not what they're there for. Like, this is professional. It's not playtime.
You mentioned limits. Specifically, you mentioned hard limits. Do you differentiate between soft and hard limits when you're shooting, or are they basically the same thing?
No. So soft limits are something that if I feel, I'm a nervous Nelly all the time. So I get like super skittish around new things. So soft limits tend to be things that I am interested in, but I don't know if I can trust the person that I'm with to do those things in a safe way, as opposed to like just really messing up your life. But for a hard limit, that's where you really have to like tread that line of modeling versus fetish modeling. If I know that I'm going to have more shoots that week, I can't have bruises on my body. So, like, those are hard limits. And if you cross those hard limits, I will put you on blast because that is a safety issue. Yeah. That's fucked up. You don't do that.
So it sounds like the soft limits are hard limits when you're working with somebody that you're new to.
Well, like, a soft limit for me would be going into a shoot with somebody who's new that I've never worked with. This is the first time we're meeting and we're doing a rogue shoot. Mm. Right? Yeah. So typically a rope shoot involves things that aren't necessarily super immobilizing, right? So maybe it's like a rope harnessed chest thing or like a mermaid tail, and you could get out of it if you needed to, kind of thing. And that's usually my first shoot with somebody. And then if I feel comfortable enough, I'll go back for a second shoot and have them hog tie me and shoot that. And I'll be okay with that because that's the second time. But a hog tie would be a soft limit for me, because if I felt comfortable enough with the rigger and he seemed or she seemed like they were completely respectful, then that would be a soft limit. And then I could have that conversation with them at that time to be like, oh yeah, go ahead, do it. I feel fine. I feel comfortable with it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I definitely can see shoots where you're immobilized, you know, like leather restraints.
Mummification.
Yeah. definitely need to take a little more care with those for sure.
So, a little bit.
So do you have specific fetishes you prefer?
Yes. And that's a big thing for me. I also try to not do anything I wouldn't do in real life because I don't want to muddy the waters. So I'm not into impact play. So I probably would never do an impact shoot. But I love rope. I love wax. I love dress up. I love nylon, stockings, leather, all of those things. All types of bondage is great. But like, I wouldn't necessarily peg someone for a shoot because I've tried it and it just doesn't tickle my fancy. So I wouldn't want to perpetuate the idea that I do these things behind closed doors if I don't actually do them. It feels dishonest.
That's a really interesting viewpoint on that. I mean, I feel like a lot of models, if you pay them enough, maybe I should rephrase that. I don't want to make it sound like, but I mean, for a lot of models, it's a shoot. It's not supposed to represent their real life. It's supposed to represent some photographer's, you know, idea or fantasy.
And I think that that's fine when it comes to things that don't require any physicality, right? So like, I do a lot of character builds. I'm not actually a demon or water nymph or any of those things, but those are all okay. But I think when you tie in fetish and kink, there's, because I don't do it in my real personal life, there's more of an opportunity for me to get hurt or for me to get triggered and send me into a spiral of some sort.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you're really closely kind of personally tying these into your identity.
I mean, for the most part, when it comes to my social, what you see is who I am. And that's why I always usually refer to myself as an artist more so than a model, because I'm showing you me.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an act, what I'm doing. This is who I am.
That makes sense. All right. How would you recommend that photographers, especially new photographers, reach out to fetish models with a shoot suggestion? I'm speaking as a fairly amateur photographer myself. I know that definitely when I'm considering an idea that's even beyond my kind, I mean, you know, like when you're reaching out for the first time for a nude shoot and you're super nervous, and then you reach out for the first time for a fetish shoot and you're super nervous. Is there a way that photographers can reach out to kind of minimize that embarrassment and that shame or that concern about being declined? Because that's really it.
Right. So one of the big things I would say is have a conversation with the model beforehand of like, oh, I really like your stuff. And then send them the picture that you saw. You were like, I want to work with this model because they do this kind of content. Usually when I have people reach out to me, they find me on FetLife when I work with fetish photographers more often than Model Mayhem or Instagram. And I think that's a great way to work, to reach out to a model who is interested in doing that kind of content for the specific reason that we both know that we're on this website and this is what we're interested in. It kind of softens the blow.
I see you are on FetLife.
I am.
Yeah, that's, I have not been, I have a FetLife account. I have not been taking advantage of it at all because I'm kind of unsure what to do with it. Well, I mean, because it started off as a personal account. So then I kind of, after I had an interview with somebody and she mentioned FetLife and I was like, oh, I could use that for photography, but I haven't really done anything with it.
You absolutely should. I would say that I am more likely to respond to a FetLife photographer than I am a photographer on Instagram. One, because you can't see the work that they've done within the realm in which they want to do.
Yeah.
On Instagram, usually. And then two, because I can easily look at the photos and see if I like their art style, and I can before even talking to the photographer, reach out to people that they've worked with and find out if they're safe.
Yeah, that makes sense. There are a couple of groups on FetLife for photography, but I found they haven't been too useful. Have you found the groups useful, or do you go look for people individually?
I usually look for people individually. This is probably the main difference between me in real life and me on my social. I am very shy. It is really, really hard for me to get into groups of people.
I can understand that.
Especially for like this kind of content.
Yeah, I went to a munch once. One time. That's it.
Just once?
Just once. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of groups. I can be very friendly one-on-one or one-on-two, but in a group, I just get super quiet and I kind of hang out and just listen to everybody else talking.
It's good to wallflower sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, but I do it all the time. All right. I see you've done several shoots with other models. I recognize Ayla Moon and Emo Hippie Chick locally. What's it like working with another model on a shoot?
So it has its pros and its cons. I would say it has a lot more pros than cons when it comes to working with friends. So I'm actually friends with Emo Hippie Chick and Ayla Moon in real life. So like we hang out, we get drinks together, we party together, we're friends. She shoots with a lot of people up here. So honestly, every time she's up in this area, she usually crashes on my couch.
Yeah.
So
it's the only way you can make money traveling, right?
I mean, yeah, it pays to know people all over the place in this business. So they're super cool. They're fun to work with. You can talk to them and never have it get weird because you're uncomfortable or you don't feel like shooting XYZ. You can just have that gentle conversation with them and it never is awkward because they respect everybody's feelings. I have worked with some fellas as well, and I've had interesting experiences in that regard too, because what we did shoot was more of the intimate nature. Sometimes it gets very awkward. And especially if you're not friends with the male model, you're just shooting together because you're both models. It can get really weird.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, take your kind of one night stand awkwardness and multiply it by 100 because you've never met the person before, potentially.
Yeah. So it's basically a blind date with somebody taking photographs of it.
That's actually something I haven't found many of, as many male models in this area. Are they all in hiding, or is Instagram just suggesting women to me and that's all?
It could be a bit of both. So the thing about fetish modeling is fetish modeling complicates things because a lot of the male models in this area want to do stuff like fashion. And that's great. But typically, if you do erotica, if you take your clothes off, you get pigeonholed. And that's all you're allowed to do. Or that's all people want you to do. And with male models, because I think they're more money-oriented than art-oriented, it's not worth it to them to do it.
That's interesting. If anything, I would have assumed that the male models were more focused with trying to get with the female models.
So a lot of male models have girlfriends.
Makes sense. They're hot.
And that's been a conversation to have too. Talking to them, being like, oh, sorry, I can't. My girlfriend wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get that because that pendulum swings both ways. I know plenty of females who are like, my boyfriend said no.
Yeah. Also makes an interesting, makes an easy way to decline something you didn't want to do anyways. Is that too?
That's true.
All right. I just made the mistake of looking at the time, and I went way longer on the questions than I expected to. Whew.
Oh, no.
That's all right. We'll live. So one of the things that... So when you're shooting adult work, there are a couple of tropes, repeated ideas that seem to come up over and over again. For example, the hotel shoot. I get why it's done. It's probably the easiest studio you'll find. It might come with interesting props you don't have to buy. The bed is pre-made. There's a giant window right there, and everybody looks good in window light. But it makes your photographs look like everyone else's. Shooting them is fine. It's fine, and it's boring. So I was hoping that we could have a back and forth discussion, see how we could spice that up, see if we could come up with some interesting things to do to make them a little more visually distinct from other photographers. So I've collected a couple tropes. This is an experiment. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how people respond to it. And then we'll either make it a regular part of the podcast or we'll move on and do something else. It's the nature of experimentation. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. So for the first one, I had here was the classic hotel room shoot. The hotel room pictures you've seen, they're all typically very bright. They've got that big window. There's a lot of white sheets. There's typically a woman either sleeping or nude. I don't know. Have you seen any interesting hotel shoots? Have you participated in any interesting hotel shoots?
So I did one of my honey shoots in a hotel, which I was grateful for because
that's a mess.
It was in a hotel and I didn't have to clean it up. It was in the shower, so it just was sticky in there. I totally get what you're saying when it comes to hotel shoots. I agree. Hotel shoots can get boring really quickly if you don't have distinctive ideas.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is adding kind of a hot wife or a cuckold fetish vibe. Because those types of things, activities, do tend to happen in hotel rooms. So it's realistic. It is appropriate. Now, I'm not sure that the bright white vibe you get goes with it. That's more of a night shoot. You may have to mimic, you know, orange sodium lights or something coming in from the window. Another part of that would be a big thing for the hot wife crew is the preparation phase. So like focus on shooting in the bathroom, like prepping for it, getting ready for things, bringing in male talent for shooting with the bed. That's a big one too. You can stick a, here's a great place to find a model who is a little older, a little chubbier. You can stick him in the corner and he gets to play the husband.
Oh,
I'm sorry to make you feel a little awkward.
That's funny.
You know, actually, that made me think a prostitute shoot works with a hotel room too. Again, kind of natural habitat thing. Although, what would you do to make it visually identifiable as a prostitute?
I mean, an envelope full of money would do it.
No, I can see that. Like dressed in lingerie or something, and then like a envelope counting of money or something like that on the edge of the bed. Yeah, that's a little different. Or you could use the hallway, like she's standing in the door dressed like a prostitute, which I don't know if there's a uniform. It's probably like short skirts, and I don't know. I don't think I've seen very many prostitutes in real life, I'm afraid. That's because they probably dress like everybody else.
I mean, sometimes I would imagine. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, no. Yeah, you can have the photographer be in the room and open the door and she's outside of it. That kind of vibe.
And then you get a little bit of exhibitionism, like a flare.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen a couple shoots in the hallways of hotels. I don't know. That's a little risky.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends, Buck Remington,
yeah,
shot. Yeah, he shot with this girl Christy Connor.
Mm-hmm. I've interviewed both of them.
And oh, well, then you maybe you've seen it. He ties her mm-hmm. up to like a luggage cart.
I haven't seen that
one.
Yeah,
a luggage cart.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Actually, I could see a whole bunch of cool. Like a naked person treating it like a skateboard as they're like posing as they roll past. That'd make a hilarious gif. All right.
It was very a la Ferris Bueller.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And hotels come with fun things too. There's usually a business center. They may have like a conference center attached. Did you see Dua Lipa's latest video was done in like a conference center? It's a super weird background.
That's interesting. I haven't seen it, but I will look into it.
I mean, they have a pool, although the pool is always risky. Who knows when parents are bringing their kids down? Don't need to see that.
Yeah. I am a big fan of like low plane stuff though, because I definitely don't want to go to places where I'm gonna get caught and I'm gonna be breaking the law.
Yeah. Some people is that I'm guessing that's one of those hard limits for you is public nudity.
Well, I'll do public nudity, but I won't do public nudity in like a subway or in the mall or
super crowded.
I'm not that much of an exhibitionist. Like that just thinking about it makes me all.
Oh, sorry.
But like naked in the woods, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Emma and she does naked hiking and she says she's never been caught. Like nobody's ever stumbled across her.
I believe that. She probably also doesn't stay on vein trails.
I used to like the Appalachian Trail a lot and there was always, I never saw them in person, but there were always legends of like people that thru hike naked. Like just do the whole trail naked the whole way. We got balls, big balls. All right. So back to hotel room. We're talking about activities that happen in a hotel room, and there's travel, which is boring. Nobody cares about that. And then there's illicit, sexy activities like cucking and prostitute. What other things happen in a hotel room?
I mean, outside the realm of, like, just sexy.
Oh, there's other things? Just kidding.
Yeah. sometimes. I personally would love to do a hotel shoot where, like, you're in the bathtub and you've got a whole bunch of empty bottles just chilling in the bathtub with you of, like, Jack Daniels or Captain Morgan. And, like, you're just the wasted girl in the bathtub.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like a after party thing.
Yeah.
Like you went to Vegas and just had yourself a...
Just lit.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting motif, too. That still falls under sin.
I mean, it absolutely does. Yeah.
No, but you could do that all over the place. You could do that in the bed, like three or four empties piled on the bed next to you. That might be kind of cool. Leaning against the window. That'd be...
One shoe missing.
Yeah. I could see that being kind of cool, too. Yeah. I'm not like that.
I'd also love to see more photographers use colored gels in hotel rooms.
Really?
Yes. Because it would help soften all that white, and it would create a new dynamic. And just adding color makes such a big difference.
I'm writing down the drunk lady in the hotel thing. If we get to work together later this summer, we're doing that.
Oh, hell yes.
Because I'd love to shoot with you at some time. So
let's do it.
Yep. We'll find a hotel. We'll find up. I'll go buy a bunch of liquor bottles or something and we'll pour it out into something else so somebody can use it and have a bunch of empties.
I've been saving quite a few because I had this idea.
Nice. I need like a party dress. So is this like a normal person drunk or is this like after like a fancy party?
Yeah, I would say this is like white girl wasted after a 303 show, living her best Kesha life.
All right. So we have the soundtrack for the shoot too.
Yes.
All right. So are there drugs involved? Like, are there lines of coke on the table or like a bottle or anything, or is this just alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause I'm kind of thinking like the perspective, so you can't see, but the bed is over here. So like there's a table here and it's got like a bottle and maybe a pill bottle and some pills that are kind of out of focus. And like the focus is on her, but like it's framed through the drugs.
Yes. That would be fantastic.
All right. That sounds cool. Let's do that. Probably August timeframe, but yeah. All right. Yeah. So other things, we could go straight into kind of ridiculousness, like bring like a blow up pool into the hotel room.
Yeah, you could.
And then like put it right in front of the window, move all the furniture. And then at least like you're still in front of the window. You're still getting the great window light, but now you're doing something ridiculous. I don't know.
I do like chaos. Chaos photos are so much fun.
All right. Anything else we could do? I mean, you could do voyeurism stuff where you're trying to show somebody outside the window. Kind of the reverse. We talked before the podcast about people that use windows. They usually show either the person in the window or they're outside the window and the person inside is showing off. But what if they were inside, but they were showing off, and then we added somebody outside? It'd be a little different. Not a lot different.
It'd be fun, though. Yeah. Like, it would also be a little tricky to figure out how you could manage that. Like, are you doing it in rooms across rooms?
Yeah.
Like, Friends style? Or are you doing it like he's down there looking up?
I think that'd be harder to do if he was looking up, unless you're on like the, I was, when you were saying that, I was mentally imagining somebody hovering at like the 12th floor. You're like, where are we going to find a model that can fly? They charge so much. Can you imagine what Superman's hourly would be? God. You're right. Right. This would have to be like a first floor or a second floor room. And then you get the problem of inadvertent models, you know, people that pass by when they take the picture.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know if, do you watch porn? But there's this video with Small Hands and one of his ladies. And they're in a hotel room, and it's like cops on a stakeout, and they're partners, but now they've been in this hotel room, and it's been so cramped for so long, they basically just hate fuck each other.
How would you do that as a photograph, though? That may just work better as a video, because you can capture kind of, you know, a minute or, well, depending on what type of video it is, you can capture, you know, a minute or three or four of interaction beforehand to kind of build up why they're
You have the badges, you throw them on the table, you have the guns, the harnesses.
Oh, that's no, you're right, with a good costume and then setting the scene. So would it be, this is the not safe for work photography podcast, so I'm going to assume erotic here.
Yes.
That'd be kind of cool.
It would eventually go that way.
No, but I can see where... You could, I'm reusing the same thing I did before, the same framing mechanism where you take the shot past a table with like a badge and like binoculars or something and in the background, there's like people on the bed and maybe they're blurry. So like, it's just blurry bodies with like paraphernalia, like cop paraphernalia, but I just use that. That's overusing that.
Well, see, here's my thing, is I love photos, especially with things like OnlyFans, give the people a story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, like, you do all the shots. You have them walking in, you have them putting their guns on the table, their binoculars down, you have him throwing her up against the wall, or, you know, roll reverse it and have her throw him up against the wall, tear open his shirt, ruin the buttons.
Yeah.
All that jazz.
No, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you could have them do that. You could have them starting by the window and like bickering back and forth. I agree on the story thing. I can't stand porn where it's just two people having sex and there's no reason for them to do it. So
other than they like each other and they're both total babes, I'm not buying that story.
Sorry. I mean, but that's just normal. That's just boring. If I'm going to porn, I don't want normal. So, no, I could see, yeah, like having them like kind of bickering in front of the window and just getting on each other's nerves and just getting on each other's nerves. And then one of them just grabs the other and is like, shut the fuck up. And then starts kissing them or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing your
voice. You gotta throw in the make me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that'd work.
Because I'm a brat. That's what we do.
I imagine that as a characteristic requires a lot of communication with your partner. Because you're looking for them to basically ignore what you say. Like you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. But what you really want is you want them to do that, to make you do that.
Yep. Yep. It does require a lot of communication.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. So yeah, you know what? We didn't talk about video very much. You're right. The video thing definitely works better with the hot wife. Cause that was one of the things I was thinking about is how do you make people who are looking at the photograph realize it's about that particular fetish? All right. So other types of video. At this point in time, we might as well just keep going with the hotel room.
Sorry, you only got your one.
No, this is good though, because this means it's kind of successful. The reason I had six, I do the same thing with questions. I'll compile like 40 questions just in case. You know, because the last thing I want is for us to just go through one and be like, yep, nope, that's bad. I was sad. The end. Like, it's just, meh.
That's so
all
funny. Right. Yep.
Oh.
More hotel.
Yeah, more hotel things. I mean, the video thing just applies to pretty much everything we were talking about before, just more so. If anything, video is almost easier because you have more time to set out the context in the story. Whereas in a photograph, you only get kind of like that one photograph to tell the whole story or imply the whole story.
Well, see, I think a good photographer could do that.
No, I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying I feel like it's a little bit harder.
You also should do people under the bed. You have to find a place where you can actually get under the bed.
Oh, yeah, the hiding thing? Yeah. Especially if you can get... We'll shoot one person under the bed and one or two people on top of the bed. I feel like a lot of photographers don't hire multiple models because it's expensive.
So in my personal experience, a lot of my erotica shoots have been trade.
Mm.
So like usually the photographer will cover the cost of the room and then myself and the other model will bring all the props and bring all of the outfits and all of that. And we just do a trade shoot.
For OnlyFans, right?
Yeah, usually.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's bounce over and do one more. Now that I'm not on the correct page anymore. Let's do a fetish trope. So one of the really common fetish tropes that I don't see many, shall we say, fine art photographers doing is the damsel in distress trope. I see a lot of kind of guys with camera and guys that are taking pictures for, you know, their own personal enjoyment, shall we say. They'll like tie somebody up and they'll throw them on a train track or they'll leave them, you know, on the floor in the living room or something like that. Have you ever done a shoot like that?
I have not. I actually find it really hard to find fetish photographers. Maybe I should rephrase that. I have a really hard time finding safe, professional fetish photographers. That's a big thing in the community, because a fetish photographer will be like, hey baby, you want to shoot with me? And I'm like, No, I don't. Don't call, like, and it's not even a don't call me XYZ kind of thing. It's if you're approaching me for a professional endeavor, then you need to be professional about it. And fetish photographers don't really seem to have that limit.
Yeah. So you've got, so basically in order to shoot a specific type of fetish work, you have to find a photographer who's willing to shoot it.
Right.
You also have to find a photographer who's also an actual professional or at least a skilled hobbyist photographer.
Yes.
And then they also have to have safety on mind as opposed to just how do I get this hot girl naked and tied up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's tough.
So the damsel in distress is pretty, like, it's a difficult trope to perpetuate. Because how do you differentiate between when the model is faking or pretending, acting, that mm-hmm. they feel unsafe versus when they actually are unsafe?
Ooh. Huh.
Because I think I would, there are only two photographers out of the like 50 that I know that I would be 100% willing to shoot damsel in distress content with. That's it.
Yeah, that's fair. But I could see how to make it more interesting. I'm thinking apply some bodyscape angles, like super close-ups. Although now you're getting kind of into what most fetish rope work photography ends up being.
Yep.
It ends up being like super close-ups of like arms. And
that's just bondage photography.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I could see an interesting photograph being like a woman who's gagged, like she's got like the gag around and she's on the ground and the frame is like half of her head, like this much, and like with a tear dripping down, maybe. I mean, that'd be dark, but yeah, how do you differentiate damsel in distress from just bondage photography?
Because, I mean, at that point, you really just need a scene. You need a good scene setup. Like, in a barn where you've got a whole bunch of freaking tools.
Yeah.
And she's, like, hanging from the rafter.
Yeah, she's tied to, like, a rafter or something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, but that's the problem that a lot of photographers have, is they don't have a great selection of scene. Like, because most photographer, like, most amateur, hold on. Let me rephrase. Most amateur photographers, most hobbyist photographers are kind of stuck with their home or whatever they can find on Airbnb.
Well, see, that's the great thing about B&Bs at this point, though, mm-hmm. now, is there's like a whole subsect that you can go to called like mm-hmm. Kink B&B. They actually just got shut down. But there are a couple of like one-off. So if you go to the Kink B&B website, they usually offer up a few other websites that are akin to that.
Oh my god.
And then you could just go rent dungeons. Literal dungeons.
No, that's really cool. I actually follow Twitter that had something like this, but it was over in Europe. And I was like, oh man, this is cool, but it's over there.
It's here too, fam. You just gotta know where to look.
Yeah, that's true. That's so much true. Yeah, there are a lot of cool Airbnbs. I saw there was like a Hobbit Hole one down in there's like one built like a Hobbit Hole, and from Hobbiton from Lord of the Rings. That's down south of here, like a couple hours.
Hmm.
So I think they'd be mad if you shot erotica there, though. Like Hobbit themed erotica.
I mean.
Where do we'd have to go find somewhere to, you know, get the hair on your feet and hairy toes.
Like, personally, I do a lot of makeup, so I could just do it myself. Spirit gum
and some hair. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a thing that I have run into being an issue where you rent out an Airbnb and I usually am like a very upfront person and I'm like, I want to use it for a photo shoot. And they'll be like, no.
I've heard that a lot of them have commercial where, yeah, if you want to do a photo shoot there, you have to pay thousands of dollars, but for OnlyFans or something like that, I don't know that they're necessarily thinking, like, this is not being put up on YouTube for 5 million views. I mean, it'd be great if you got 5 million views. I wish you did. Actually, I don't know. Maybe you do get 5 million views.
No. I'm not on YouTube. I should get on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely been a discussion before, because Airbnb does have some really cool stuff. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I know you can't bring in a crew, because that's really obvious. You have to kind of go in and do a guerrilla shoot if you want to do that.
Realistically, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. All right, so back to damsel in distress. So damsel in distress. So setting is big. Putting them somewhere where it would be realistic for a damsel to be kept, like a barn. Not like your living room.
There's actually this really great abandoned place, Fort Ritchie. Have you ever been there? It's in Maryland. Mm-mm. Hmm. So you're allowed to go there and shoot. And like the people there are super chill. You could do abandoned stuff that would be great for damsel in distress, because they have a bunch of like old barracks that you can go into. They have like engineering buildings that are old and you can get into. Basically, if you don't have to break the doors open, you're allowed to go in them.
That's really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah. Huh. John Krampetich became the owner of Fort Ritchie. On April 7th, 2021. So maybe that's not possible anymore.
Oh, 2021?
Yeah, just like 2 months ago.
Oh, no. No. He just sold it. Son of a bitch.
For $2 million. He's going to build it into a mixed-use development. That's just what we need, is more houses and big box stores.
To be fair, there is nothing in that area. But that bums me out.
I mean, I'm sure there's other abandoned places.
I just gotta, yeah, what is it? Don't there's know like if they're gonna be that close, you know?
Oh, that's just north of Camp David. It's funny. Huh. Yeah, maybe I'll go try it before they, you know, lock it up and close everything else.
Yeah, I hope you can. That bums me out. I'm sad now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to be the bearer of sad news.
Thanks a lot.
Just rain on your parade. So, Faye, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter.
Are you at Fervid Faye on both?
No. So The Twitter is at Ravish Raven.
That used to be your Model Mayhem handle.
Yep, it used to be my handle for everything, and then I had to rebrand.
Did Instagram kill your account?
No, I had a vicious bitch try and kill my account. Yeah, she went around reporting everything, and she made my life a living hell for months for no reason. Ooh. So I rebranded so she couldn't find me.
Would you want photographers to reach out to you via FetLife? Or would you prefer they stick to, kind of the people listening to the podcast, stick to Twitter and Instagram?
Anywhere. Honestly, I'm always on checking out my handles. So Instagram is the fastest way you'll get a response. And then FetLife and then Twitter.
Do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
No, not yet. I don't start shooting until the third.
Oh. Do you have specific things you'd like to do once you get started shooting?
So many things.
Yeah, you mentioned the hotel room, but I have a claim on that. Just kidding. Yes, somebody else wants to do it, you can do it with them.
Hey, I have a lot. Well, see, you can have the erotica hotel shoot, and then another person is going to get the demonic hotel shoot.
Ooh, demonic. What is that?
A lot of creepiness, black blood in the bathtub, coming out of candles everywhere, blood everywhere.
You know, I just realized there's not nearly enough witchy erotica. I'm thinking of like pentagrams on the floor and like candles. And I mean, cause isn't the witch ritual stuff done supposed to be in the nude?
Yes. But
well, there we go.
You know what I would say why it's not a thing right now is because we live in the year 2020 and everybody gets butthurt about everything. So because Wicca is an actual religion, I feel like you might get your ass chewed out if you go in and do a shoot capitalizing off of somebody's religion. So people just don't do it.
And with that, we are done. I now have a YouTube channel. It's actually kind of boring right now. It's just the audio of the podcast, but I'm hoping to start recording video with these interviews sometime soon. First, I need to make a cooler looking studio in my house or find somewhere cooler to record. But, for what we have now, check us out there or at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast.com on Twitter as at NSFWPhotography, Instagram at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. Keep making art, keep sharing art.